and talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
We talking about going to watch a movie because there's a cinema right there at the hotel we're staying at.
What movie?
We haven't seen Jurassic World, although I heard some bad things about it. But I mean, we'll figure it out when we get there.
Movie theaters are a great place to take a nap.
Yeah. Listen, I've just discovered something. We have the same birthday. You May the 2nd?
Yes, May 2nd.
Oh, see, all the best people in the world have May the 2nd as their birthday.
These are facts.
So it's me, it's you, it's The Rock, it's David Beckham.
Yep.
There's
that's four, the Mount Rushmore.
There's four great athletes in there, isn't there?
The Mount Rushmore. Yeah. That's it.
Now, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember who has the same birthday. Screw with that. I'm not supposed to, help this along.
Right.
Just remember who has the same birthday. Good. Back to your question.
But that's quite a... I feel my testosterone has literally just been lifted like 10% just by hearing that. That's amazing. But, we like I said, media day, media week, fight week. Obviously, everybody's here that normally isn't here. So literally everybody in this sport is here, and they all ask you the same sort of questions. But what I think people actually like to know is kind of like when you said about going to the cinema, they want to know what you're going to see. Fans want to see what you do in your sort of spare time. What is a typical day? Let's say the minute the fight's over, you go back home. How do you spend your days? Are you a quiet guy? Eat terribly, and then they spend the first 3 or 4 weeks of the next camp cutting weight. Are you one of these people that genuinely believes that is good for your mental health, or do you think it's actually detrimental to your physical health where you're a fighter's concerned? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's definitely both. Now it's real. It's definitely real. You definitely need to know when you got to take that back. I can't just
cut it. It's 1-on-1.
It's putting a bunch of extra stress on your body that's not needed.
Yeah.
But I mean, all power to them. They can do whatever they want. They got freedom of choice,
Yeah, they do it.
Caleb, are you there?
I'm in.
Caleb.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We were trying this new thing where one's at the station.
It's failed.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say it's failed.
What other sports do you watch? Do you you're sitting at home and as a fan or, as something you would like to go do?
I would usually watch football and basketball, hockey, but I've noticed that I've watched other sports like increasingly less. Like the more I get into martial arts and I'm just like training martial arts. And then when I'm taking my break, if I'm not training, I kind of like to do like absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Like not even like I don't want to play a video game. Just I don't want to watch a movie either. I don't want to read a book.
Yeah.
I just kind of just throw my hands back, lay on my bed, and just.
Can you watch a fight as a fan, or are you always watching a fight? As that's your profession, maybe picking up something.
I mean, if it's a street fight, I'm watching as like a regular fan. But I'm like, that guy's got some spunk. But if I'm watching the fights, I'm definitely. I found as of late, my mind definitely goes to like, that could be useful. I might steal that, or why did he do that? That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
I'm definitely like critiquing more than anything.
Is there a way for you to watch it and not critique it? And the reason I ask you that is I'm a judge in the state of Florida, and I always hate when people, he won a round. but he didn't watch the fight. Hmm. So if I want to watch as a fan and just to enjoy it, I'll look away for like 10 seconds. Because then in my mind, I can't tell you who won. So now I can just chill and watch it as a fan. Do you need to do something like that to watch it as a fan and not as work?
You know, I've never thought about that, but I might give it a go. Okay. And then I'll let you know the next time I'm over here.
Listen, away from the sport, am I right in assuming that you have a business degree?
Yes.
So a lot of people have this perception of fighters in any form of the fight game that we're all mindless, you know, brutes and all this kind of stuff. And they don't really, especially in MMA, they don't understand the dedication and the honor and respect that goes with being a martial artist. But being smart and having a plan for after the fight game, you know, where do you see yourself? Not that you're going to end your career anytime soon, right? Hopefully onto great things, but after you finish fighting, do you have a plan? Do you have a thing that you think, I'm going to use that degree and I'm going to go open this, or I'm going to do this, or focus my attentions there?
Yes, I got like a couple things. Before I got my business degree, I was pre-med, and I switched it to business economics because I really wanted to I started training in college and I really wanted to focus on college, but I was like, pre-med might make my window of fighting a lot smaller because I'm gonna have to focus on the whole medical school thing. So I was like, maybe when I get out of here, I'll go back to med.
Yeah.
And so as of now, though, my thoughts are I'm up in the air between going back to med school and then becoming a doctor, you know, doing my residency. But I love fighting so much that I don't want to like separate from the sport too much. So I would love to get my doctor, my MD, just to be like a cage side doctor. If not that, though, I've also been thinking about the idea of just opening up my own like agency and representing fighters as you know, like sports management.
I want that bumper sticker. My doctor can beat up your doctor. I definitely want that. Finally, what can the fans expect on Saturday when you get in the octagon?
Just action, man. I come to fight. A lot of, you know, the door closes. We're locked in there. I'm definitely not going to run away from the other guy. I can't always say the same will be, like my opponent will do the same. Sometimes he's going to run away from me. I'm going to try to make the cage as small as possible and make the fight happen. At the end of the day, I'm just trying to make, you know, put those butts in the seats and, you know, make an entertaining fight. So I'm going to bring the fight every time.
All right. Now the pressure's on you. If you remember, we'd like to thank you for coming on the show. So we're going to send you another care package from 8 Man Strong and a box of socks from Odd Sock Official. But we brought some socks. So we have an inner bet right now as to what pair will be the first pair selected. You are the first person, you know, at the start of the show. So look through, and I've already enticed enough, but I was told that I can't kind of push.
Think wisely.
Yeah, think wisely. Think birthday.
So like.
and while you're looking, unless you're ready to pick, are you ready to pick?
Yeah.
All right, good pick.
I'm going to go.
Do.
Yeah, I'm a Street Fighter.
Oh! All three of us lose.
We're giving our ages away. Yeah, we missed that one.
Not that I was enticing that it's the Rock's, you know, you and the Rock have the same birthday.
You know, no, I was honestly thinking of going Back to the Future, but yeah, that's Street Fighter.
That's awesome. If you would pick one as well, you are welcome to. Gabe, as always, thank you very much for coming on. Have fun on Saturday. And we will talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from the Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sum.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
This is Ron Duguay from formerly New York Rangers. And you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Just because you're in the backcountry doesn't mean you need to compromise on what you eat. Right on Trek adventure meals are better than home cooking. They're designed to be light, tasty, nutrient-packed, and easy to cook in less than 10 minutes. Enjoy an unforgettably delicious meal right when you need it most. Take Right on Trek's trail-ready, restaurant-quality meals on your next adventure. Pick them up today at rightontrek.com/meals. That's rightontrek.com/meals.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Leroy Glover from the Dallas Cowboys, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the Apex International Fight Week. Kind of a big deal, International Fight Week.
Huge. Vegas explodes this week. It's amazing.
Or is it just another fight week?
No.
Let's ask.
Yeah.
The man. We'll get the one fight question out of the way with Jared Cunningham. Just another fight week, or do you try to think of this as it's just a fight?
I don't put more pressure on it than it's what's needed. You know, the fight is stressful enough as it is. So the fact that it's International Fight Week and it's for a title shouldn't give me more motivation going there and fight for my life. You know what I'm saying? The fact that a man is trying to separate me from my consciousness, diminish my health is enough motivation for me to go out there and not allow that to happen at every turn, you know? So I'm just as motivated for this fight as I've been for all my other fights because it's the same thing. The only difference is that I'm a better fighter.
But this is fun for you.
Oh, absolutely. So this is very fun for me. The fights are like the easy parts of the whole equation, of the whole thing. You know, camps are the hard part, the hard work, the getting, the being tired and having to continue to work. That's the hard part, right? It doesn't have to be that when the fight comes around. So that's what I'm training for. That's what I'm preparing for. I'm preparing for the long haul, but I'm also training to make this thing go off without a hitch.
Quick and easy, mm-hmm. Like this show.
That's it.
Look, we try our best. There's nothing worse than after 12 weeks of separating yourself from your family, and a good burger and a beer and whatever it is, you know, you come to a media day is always a bit of a pain because, you know, essentially, you know, you want to be relaxing, you want to be at the gym, you want to be focused on what you're doing, and so we very much appreciate you being here. But so we try our best to ask you things that hopefully none of the other people will ask you. But so from someone like you that has been in this game for a long time, and you've been up, you've been down, you have fought and beaten the best of the best that's ever been thrown at you, is there anyone that you look at in over your life of watching MMA that you think, do you know what, I wish I'd have got the opportunity to fight him?
No
you really don't. I mean, in fairness, looking at your record, literally fought every legend that could ever be around, you know. And I don't know. I think it's a. I try my best to kind of look at these situations when you're at the elite and you're at the top of the top. But me personally, I fought amateur, and there were still some people when you fight amateur that you think, oh, I wanted to see if I could ever get quite close to beating that guy, or whether the styles would have complemented. But that's kind of interesting that you feel that way. But here now, you're in Vegas. You've done this many million times before, but. Do you live and breathe the sport when you're not in the sport?
Yes.
You know, when you're outside the camp, do you allow yourself some time to just relax and just not be training, or are you constantly even light rolling and?
I'm always training.
Yeah.
You know, it's some days I'll be like, no, I don't really feel like it. And if I don't have anything coming up, or if I'm not working towards anything specific, or if none of my teammates need me there, or generally it's usually because I have something to do, so I can't really go to this practice right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't really take time off. It's a part of it's a lifestyle for me. It's not a job or an occupation or something that I got to go get ready for. No, I'm doing this all the time, all day. I want to be doing this until the day that I come to the finish line. So
we're going over to...
Go ahead, Caleb.
Jared, coming from light heavyweight to middleweight, you've been able to kind of overpower a lot of your opponents. And Adesanya seems to be able to stay out of harm's way, which is something he's really good at. How do you solve that puzzle that so many, other than Jan Blachowicz, have been unable to solve? How do you go into this fight kind of like, without giving too much detail, what are some things that you worked on to try and kind of solve that puzzle and get him with one of those back fists you love to use?
Without giving any detail.
Yeah, without giving any detail.
Well, one with competent footwork could make it happen. A good defense, you know. Everybody seems to believe that wrestlers are the way to go, you know. But there are many things that work, you know. Everything works on everybody.
Yeah.
You just got to be able to implement it in a fashion to where they're not prepared to receive it. So a jab works, right?
Yeah.
But if you see the jab coming, maybe I should do something before or something like that. Faking, fainting. There's plenty of things we can do. So there's always a way.
I'm sure I'd do a lot of fainting if I was in the octagon. what would the 2015 heavyweight tell today's 185-pounder?
What would the 2015 heavyweight?
Yeah. Don't eat so much.
You know, what would I tell my 2015 person?
Yeah. No. What would the 2015 person tell you today?
Oh.
Or vice versa. It's the same thing. If you want to say, what would you today tell the 2015 guy?
Well, what would he say to me? We're like, yeah. What would he say to me? I'm like, I knew I could do it. What would I say to him?
I told you I can do it.
Well, I would say a lot. I would have to. I'm like, here, let me catch you up. Do this, do that, do this, do this, do that, do that. I have a lot to say to my old self, and I probably wouldn't be. I probably would anyway.
Yep.
I'd probably be somewhere different on another timeline, in another dimension, or something like that.
Listen, you know, if you weren't a fighter and you're a born fighter, anyone watches you fight knows that you're a born fighter. You have that natural kind of sort of animal instinct to get in there and just let's just do it. And anyone that saw the last fight will attest to that. But if you weren't a fighter, what would you see yourself doing? Or what would you see yourself doing once you've hung up the gloves?
Okay.
You know, what do you want to do?
Well, after I hang up the gloves, I plan on coaching and continuing to train. I want to be in the gym, so that's my avenue of staying there.
Yeah.
I maybe even eventually own my own gym. But if I wasn't fighting, like before I was fighting, I was an air traffic control equipment repair.
Right.
So, and I did the same thing in the Army.
Right, okay.
I did the same thing in the Navy.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you worked on
radio. I was an operations specialist, and, you know, so air traffic control and track ships, subs.
Okay.
All that kind of stuff.
Nice. So,
us vets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Never knew that. Okay.
Yeah. So that's probably what I'd be doing.
Okay.
Right now.
Well, fair play.
I'd probably be a heavyweight. You know, I'd probably be beyond a heavyweight now. Hopefully, no, I wouldn't be a heavyweight. I would have gotten my shit together.
Stuff.
Same thing.
He said stuff together.
Stuff. I would have gotten my stuff together.
Well, you said ship because I was on a ship. So yeah. If you were not on a ship, I was on a ship.
I would have gotten my ship together with a P. Yeah.
Perfect. Love you. Awesome. All right, go, Caleb.
Jared, you've had a fantastic UFC career, MMA career. Have you taken the chance to kind of sit back and kind of like smell the roses, so you say, or appreciate how far you've come? Understandably, you said that this is just another fight like all the other fights, but to have the ups and downs, to move weight classes and to find success in this weight class and be at a position that so many people want to be in and get that title opportunity, have you taken that chance to kind of look back and be like, wow, like appreciate how far you've come and the work that you've put in? Or is this still just head down, grind mode, and appreciate later?
Mm-hmm. I would say it's more of the latter. Only time I really go back and reflect on things that I've done is to either learn lessons or reinforce the lessons that I've learned, or adjust my trajectory going forward.
Yeah.
What was the question again? I know I answered it.
No, you did. It's just basically just like if you've taken the time to kind of appreciate how far you've come. And like I said, I play in the NFL, and there are certain moments where I'm seeing myself on TV or something of that nature, and I'm like, wow, like I'm really, in the show. I'm really doing what I set out to do. I'm achieving my goals. So my question is, do you have those kind of feelings and be like, wow, like, I'm training hard, I'm working hard, I'm still in it, do you have time to kind of just sit back and be like, wow, like, I've accomplished so much. I have, worked my butt off and gotten to this point, that kind of thing.
No, I wouldn't say that I have, because I'm still on the journey. I'm still doing it. So I don't stop and be like, wow, I did this and I did that.
Yeah.
And, cause my focus is on continuing to do
still
it.
More
I'm,
to
I'm,
do.
I'm still
the next
doing
one, the next thing. Yeah.
So I haven't really done it yet. Right. Yeah. Even after I win the belt, I haven't really done it. I've only done something that we're going to just we'll bookmark this here, and we'll come back to it and all that stuff. Yes, I do get excited, but I'm not like, walking around my house, patting myself on my back about it. Yeah. I'm in more of a state of preparation, especially now at this point. Than I am in a state of excitement.
Yeah.
I'll be excited shortly after the fight. And again, it's going to be back to business. So going back to the gym, going back to work, got to get better. Because especially after winning the title, it's going to be all the best coming after you.
Yeah. Do you have a welcome to the UFC moment? Like a moment where you're like, oh welcome to the MMA moment, when your first fight or whatever it is, when you were like, wow, I'm in the big leagues now. Maybe it was like a leg kick or a punch you took and you're like, damn, he hits hard, like, do you have that moment?
Well, I guess it was before my first fight. I'm like, I'm gonna go do this.
Yeah.
I've already pictured myself there. I've already visualized myself there. So I'd already done it hundreds of times before I even made my first walk. So mental preparation is key for me. So when I did step in it for the first time, it was nothing new, nothing really. It was the first time experiencing physically, but mentally, I've already done this. I've already done it many different ways, and it's just time to be present now. Be present and do everything I've trained to do. So I knew that I had the potential to do great things, and I've only ever been on the road to achieving that.
Yeah,
the finding out that, revealing that potential.
One of my fondest things that I've done is I've been involved in sports since the mid '80s. I'm in the NFL locker room.
1880s.
Okay, yeah. I was in the locker room with Caleb when he was with the Buccaneers. Jimmy's a performer on the Strip, used to be with the Tenors of Rock, big name people. And I'm always talking my favorite sport, which is mixed martial arts. So we're in the locker room with the offensive lineman talking your sport. I went to see him perform, and it's the meet and greet after. We're talking your sport. Mm-hmm. And I used to ask the guys back in the day, what will it take to get our sport known? And I think we're on the process. What else can we do? How can we push this even bigger? I'm not naive. You know, the NFL is still the NFL. It's still the biggest. What can we do to make MMA number two? We're on the way.
I mean,
you went on Saturday and jumped in Joe Rogan's arms? Last week's guest did that.
That would not give me any anything whatsoever. And I think I'd lose some dignity too.
Yeah, well, you pick up fans, but maybe lose the dignity.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Right.
I don't know. You know, I think the UFC is doing the best they can with what we have. You know, which is a lot. You know, they're doing a lot. So
it's come leaps and bounds.
Yeah, it has. It really has. You know, and the level of fighter has come leaps and bounds as well. So
have you started to recognize a lot more in the last sort of year, 2 years?
Yes.
And it must be kind of annoying because you've been doing this for so long at the highest level. But the ESPN deal and the outreach of the media, and now I drove down the strip yesterday and there's a huge billboard and your face is right there, you know. You know, that must be quite amazing. But yeah, have you really noticed that the last sort of 18 months?
Yes, I have.
Do you enjoy it, or do you? You know, some people are kind of, you know, they like it. Some people embrace it. Some people don't. You know,
it depends on the approach. You know, if a person is cool, respectful, and cordial, then it can be a nice, easy exchange.
Yeah.
But if people are weird, they don't even know your name, and they're asking you for stuff. That's kind of disrespectful. Absolutely. You know?
Yeah.
And that can be, it can be annoying.
And foolish.
Yep. And some people can be inconsiderate. If they see me doing something, you know what I'm saying? Some people will just, ain't nobody jumped in front of me and stopped me, but, you know, I'm sure, you know, if my star shoots high enough, I'm sure people will try it until I react, and then they'll realize, no, we can't do that to him.
Yeah.
Jared, great stuff. We appreciate your time. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a care package of Odd Sock Official, some cool socks, and a whole box of Right on Track food prep. Mm-hmm. It's really good stuff. So we're going to send you all three boxes.
Oh, nice.
Thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you again very, very soon.
Thank you very much.
Let's go hit a quick break, and we are coming back to the Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Stapson.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike Matheny, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
E-Tech e-bikes provides the best in quality, technology, innovation, power, and luxury. Eco-friendly, foldable, and powered by Baofeng Motors, Shimano Brakes, Tesla, and Samsung batteries, E-Tech bikes are ideal for commuting, recreation, mountain, or sport use. Built for optimal power and energy efficiency, E-Tech e-bikes have up to 100-mile range and speeds up to 30 miles per hour. Use our discount code 100OFF today at etechbikes.com. That's E-T-E-K bikes.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Phyllis Proctor. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, we are back coming to you live from the Apex as we get ready for International Fight Week. Hanging out here at the Apex. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. Sitting here with Andre, and we're going to translate this back and forth, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. How much am I going to understand?
You'll understand everything. I'll
from you.
Everything. Yeah.
From you. How is fight week for you? And is this any different than any other fight week?
Como está fight week para você? Isso aqui está diferente que qualquer outro fight week?
Fight week, né? Então eu estou curtindo muito. É um grande momento para a organização, entendo isso. E espero sábado dar um grande show para o público.
It's my first fight week. I'm really enjoying myself. I know it's a big... a moment for the promotion, and I will live up to my part.
What is one of the first things that comes to mind for you, like in training, like your proudest moment? I trained Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in Rio in my George Gugel gi, and it was like, that was my proudest MMA moment. I'm a fat old guy, I'm not a fighter. What would be like one of your proudest moments?
Qual é o seu momento mais orgulho? No treino, eu treinei com o Jorge Gurgel, com a kimono de Jorge Gurgel no Rio, foi meu momento mais espetacular. Qual foi seu momento mais espetacular?
Eu acredito quando você vence uma luta contra uma lenda do esporte, no caso o meu jiu-jitsu, foi a vitória sobre o Ronaldo Jacaré. Eu acho que até hoje é o momento maior da minha história de luta.
Yeah, I think that in my case it was when I beat Ronaldo Jacaré, who is a jiu-jitsu legend. I would consider that my most important moment.
Is it an advantage in a way to not speak when you're fighting in America? Is it an advantage not to understand and not hear what's being screamed and yelled?
É vantagem para você lutando nos Estados Unidos não escutar o que as pessoas estão gritando?
Não vejo uma vantagem, né? Mas não tem diferença para mim lutar nos Estados Unidos ou em outro país. A diferença seria se eu lutasse no Brasil, né, com o calor da torcida ao meu favor.
Not really. I don't think that it changes much in here or in any other country. I think in Brazil it would make a difference because I could feel the warmth of the crowd.
When you come from another country, whether in this case it's Brazil or any other country, what do you have to bring? What do you have to do that you can't get here that you would need?
Quando você vem do Brasil, por exemplo, o que, que você tem que trazer que você não conseguiria aqui?
Bem, é bem difícil trazer qualquer coisa do Brasil para os Estados Unidos, né?
It's pretty hard to bring things from Brazil here anyway.
So almost everything.
Então, quase tudo, né?
Trazer a comida, o tempero e, sem dúvida, o calor humano da família.
The food, the spice, and the human warmth of the family.
Back home. Back in the day, people, some friends of mine who played in the NFL, said they didn't even like the NFL. They were just good at it. Do you like what you do, or are you just good at it?
Antigamente, alguns amigos meus jogavam no NFL, né, falavam que não gostavam, só eram bons. Você gosta da luta? Você gosta do UFC?
Eu gosto, assisto, vivo a luta. A luta é minha vida.
I like it. I live it. Fighting is my life.
What can the fans expect Saturday when you get in the octagon?
O que os fãs podem esperar sábado quando você entrar no octágono?
Esperar um grande show, uma luta bem disputada e pode ter certeza que eu vou buscar a finalização do começo ao fim.
Andre, growing up in Brazil, we're fighting and
looking for the finish the whole time, they can expect a really good fight.
God, Caleb.
Andre, growing up in Brazil where, you know, football, soccer, as, you know, Americans call it, and fighting are kind of the two major sports and, you know, the things that people are gravitated to, when did you fall in love with fighting? Did you love soccer first and find fighting, you know, through circumstance, or was it something that you kind of always loved since you were a kid?
Vindo do Brasil, onde a paixão é futebol, todo mundo gosta de futebol, como é que você entrou na luta? Como é que onde foi que você se apaixonou pela luta?
Eu comecei na luta com 13 anos de idade. Tive a oportunidade de ver lutas do Pride na época. Então já despertou em mim a vontade de querer sair na porrada. E desde quando eu entrei na arte marcial com 13 anos, eu sempre queria sair na porrada.
Yeah, for me, it was when 13 years old when I watched Pride. It just inspired in me the want to go in there and bang. That's what, at 13 years, that's how I felt. I just watched it and I felt like doing that.
Awesome. Andre, thank you very much for your time. Have fun on Saturday. And for coming on, we want you to pick a pair of the socks from one of our sponsors called Out Sock Official.
Falou para você escolher uma meia.
Que boca.
Não vai querer o corno, não?
Da pipoca?
All right, as he does that, we're going to go ahead and
tem muita
and
opção,
we'll
não.
To you from the Apex. This is Knockout Radio.
Da pipoca.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Keenan McCardell, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Juice Newton, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back in the queue live from the Apex. Shut that door. We'll try to, let me try to figure out how to do this. How do I add Matt and get him on this thing? I have no idea. I guess we should have thought this out just a little bit better.
This is the standard of operation.
Add a participant. Maybe that'll work.
There you go. There you go.
So what's going on back at the home front there, Caleb?
Man, not much. You know, I'm enjoying the station here. You know, nothing too crazy. I honestly have something I wanted to come vent about real quick to you, Randy. It has been on my mind this morning. I don't know if you've been watching these NBA contracts that have been going around. Have you paid any attention to that? I know you're busy with Fight
very
Week.
Little. Yeah, because of Fight Week, I haven't, but very little.
You know, so, you know, they come up on my, you know, my little ESPN ticker and stuff. And, you know, you got guys opting in for $46 million contracts. You know, guys who haven't played in 3 years making $130 million in a three-year span. Role players are getting $100 million. I'm mad at my dad. You know how I told you the story that my parents signed me up for football, thinking it was soccer? I wish they had did basketball. You know, I wish that they put me in that because these things are crazy. But, you know, excited for all those guys. This time is always tough for us football players because, you know, our stars are making $100 million for 7-8 years, and you got these role players making $100-something million contracts. So, yeah, it's always crazy. It's always crazy
now,
just to see.
Would you be able to box out Shaq?
No. Come on, that's an extreme though. Shaq is extreme because it's like saying, would you be able to block Warren Sapp all day? It's like that's a tough job for the best of the best. So maybe not Shaq, but you give me, you know, Draymond Green, I'll give him a run for his money.
I wanted to bring up Warren, Jimmy, and you probably don't know this, but well, you know that Jared was wearing a shirt, Killer Gorilla.
Yeah.
And Warren Sapp is the quarterback killer. So we could have kind of entwangled the two, but yeah, I thought about doing that.
Yeah. Who is, I'm going to sound ridiculous now. Who is Warren Sapp?
No.
Oh, so you're going to get Randy going.
he's by the way, he's just gone from white to purple. Right
yeah.
Now.
I can imagine.
Here's the thing. I understand you're not from here. Yeah. You're not one of us. No. But I've seen you at Raider games.
Yeah, but they offer me free. I get free tickets. Oh, that's true. And I love, don't get me wrong, I love American football. I love it. I'm a Broncos fan since the day I was kind of like, since I was a kid. But, like, you know, the knowing the ins and outs of it all, it's still very confusing, certain things, especially players and things like that. I love the game. I think it's brilliant.
Warren Sapp, in my opinion, is the greatest Tampa Bay Buccaneer of all time.
Okay.
And when Warren left the Tampa Bay Bucs, he went to a team called the Oakland Raiders. And he played, I don't know if it was a year or two, NFL Hall of Famer, quarterback killer. Known to get after the quarterback, and so I almost brought it up, but I didn't expect you necessarily to know. I mean,
well,
I don't know rugby players or cricket.
Well, there we go.
People
we could
either.
Do a whole hour on rugby union teams and who were the greatest.
So what name can you throw out, Caleb, that he won't know either?
You know, before I do that, interesting enough, there's been an influx of rugby players coming to the NFL and having a lot of success.
Caleb, so you being a former pro and having played at the level that you played at, this is an interesting thing to me. I played at a pretty good level of rugby league, which is the same game that Alexander Volkanovski played prior to becoming an MMA fighter. I genuinely believe that his success in this sport and his gas tank and his strength comes from his rugby league, nothing to do with mixed martial arts. It's all to do with the conditioning that you have in rugby league. And there was a documentary many years ago where the Atlanta Falcons met up with a team called the Warrington Wolves, and they not that the games are similar in the slightest. American football is so much more technical and intricate, the way the plays have to be formed and all this kind of stuff. But they were talking about things like who hit a bag hardest, who could lift the most, who could sprint the most. And it was such a kind of unique thing that I've always wondered why not more rugby players moved over to the NFL, because the nature of the athleticism, the bursts of speed, the literally, you know, that kind of break of speed over 2 or 3 seconds, especially if you're, you know, a defensive lineman or something like that. You know, you don't need to be fast over 10 seconds. You need to be fast over 3, you know?
Yeah.
And that's such a rugby thing. You know, I'm quite surprised that you say there's so many rugby guys moving into the sport.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I wonder the same thing. I grew up in Nigeria. I spent, like, the early part of my childhood there. And so I'm familiar with rugby. You know, I watched a lot of it growing up. And I don't think people realize how big and powerful and fast those guys really are. And, you know, if you can – the ones who have come in and been able to kind of – take down the technique and the intricacies of football, as you said, they're having a lot of success. The Philadelphia Eagles drafted 2 offensive tackles, you know, who were former rugby guys, huge dudes. Their left tackle right now, he's just got paid a bunch of money, and he's 6'7", whatever, 320, and he played rugby and really athletic. So I think that, you know, those guys, you know, kind of need to take notice and kind of come over here, because there's a lot of success to be had. Like, they're really, really good athletes, and like you said, like, it takes a lot of power and explosion and burst to be able to play that sport, and tenacity, because to do those things with no pads on, I know people say that no pads make you hit it a little lighter, but I guarantee you, if you go watch, I disagree as well. I want the pads. I 100% disagree.
Caleb, so is that tight end more a blocking tight end? I would assume he's a better blocker than catcher, right?
He's not a tight end, he's a tackle, offense tackle.
Oh, I thought you said tight end.
Yeah, he's their left tackle, stud. You should go watch him. Huge dude, really athletic, like he's a good player.
Hold on a second, you said he's with the Philadelphia Eagles, right?
Yeah, with the Eagles.
Yeah, I can't watch him. I can't watch him. I can't watch the Philadelphia Eagles, I just can't do it. I refuse to do it. Give me your thoughts on, we'll talk about everything that's going on at International Fight Week, but your thoughts on the fight, you know, on Saturday. Is there one fight, is there 2 fights, you know, that you're most intrigued about?
I mean, obviously the top 2, there's the top 3 fights, in my opinion, Sugar Sean, Volkan Holloway, and Adesanya Cananier. I want to see Sugar Sean keep improving his stock, keep getting wins, and then I kind of want to see him start being on those main cards and fighting those top 10 guys, because, you know, he's kind of run through the, you know, the lower levels, and I don't want to call lower levels and disrespect anybody, but like he's kind of shown that he's a step above those guys, so I kind of want to see him take that next step. And then as far as Volkanovski and Holloway, they had two really, really close fights early on. We saw Volk look like, you know, an MMA goat against Zombie not that long ago. And then we saw Holloway when he fought last time. He looked like invincible in his fight with his boxing skills. So I'm excited to see those guys go at it again. You know, it'll be the first trilogy where there hasn't been a split. 1-1, you know, Volk won those two fights and other people debate it. And then I'm interested to see Cannonier, you know, with his power and his ability, his knockout power, and Izzy's counter striking. I'm excited to see those fights. So I'm fired up about that.
Interest. I know we were supposed to have Donald Cerrone on. We got kind of tied up, and so he moved on. I'm intrigued, you know, if this is the end. It's towards the end. We know that. I know some of the statements that he's made and some people are up in arms about. I'm hoping we see the former, you know, the younger Donald Cerrone on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a long career, and it's been fought at the very, very sort of very highest level. And I think everybody loves to watch Donald Cerrone fight because you always know that you're gonna get a fight. There's no doubt about that. But there was a period of his career where you think if he was ever going to win a title, if he was ever going to really break into that elite group, that kind of has passed now. But it still doesn't break the star. And the fact that when people see his name on a bill, they'll pay for it because you know he's going to bring it, you know. But actually, in saying that, I'm going to tell you what the fight of the night's going to be. I'll tell you right now what it's going to be: Robbie Lawler.
I was just going to say that.
Robbie Lawler, yep. Barbarena, because yep. There's two guys. Like I said, at the latter part of their career, no disrespects, two amazing, you know, careers, but the styles. These two are literally going to lock up, they're going to touch gloves, and then I fully expect to see a complete and utter world war. Nothing less than that. I think that's going to be the fight of the night. I would say put your money on it if you can do that.
You know, Randy, like you said about people wanting to see younger Cerrone, I think we, you know, as fans of the sport, you know, as fans of sports in general, we idolize, you know, these athletes, and we kind of got to understand, like, when guys get to a certain point in their career, we're not going to get the younger version of them. And we have to kind of learn to appreciate where they are now and what they give us now. You know, like you said, like, you know, when Cerrone gets in there, it's going to be a fight. He's going to give it a great effort and a great go. So I'm excited to just see him be at his best now. And, you know, like the last time we saw him in the ring was against McGregor, you know, and it was a quick fight. And he's had a couple fights be canceled for different reasons. So I'm excited to kind of see him and see what he can bring now and just, you know, appreciate what he's done for the sport. And you know, we don't know how much longer he's going to keep fighting, but to kind of see him, you know, have these moments that he has left in the cage.
I was going to ask him when he was going to come in, and again, it was our mistake, not theirs. Is it the same feeling, you know, as you're kind of, you know, winding down, do you put as much, you know, the same amount? I mean, we know Donald Cerrone. We know what's going on at the BMF Ranch. And, you know, he loves life, and that's what I love about him. But, you know, if you see the, what is it, at the end of the rainbow, you know, the
pot of gold.
Yeah, or whatever, yeah. You know, whatever it is. It's hard to, you know, we talked about Conor McGregor on the plane. It's hard to stay motivated.
It's that, you know, everyone knows that Marvin Hagler quote, that it's difficult to get up for the 5 a.m. run when you're getting out of silk pajamas. And it's true. When you've been there and you've done it, and I don't think he would have any aspirations of, you know, cracking into the title frame, you know. So, but you wonder, why would you do it? Hopefully, financially, he's done very well. He's a very, very popular draw. He has many other things that he does in his life. The acting now, the endorsements, he has the ranch. So you'd like to think that he doesn't have to do it. So he does it out of choice, which I sometimes think is more sinister and truly frightening.
Yeah.
Because you're that kind of personality. Like McGregor, you say about McGregor, you know, he comes from a rough background. He makes his way. He becomes the champ. He becomes a superstar around the world. He buys a load of yachts, and he's never looked the same since. Fair play to you. You've made your money, and you've achieved something that I've never done, and many other people have never done. But you get the feeling now that it's more ego driving the push to fight, where someone like a cowboy, you get the feeling that he just loves to fight.
Yeah.
And that's why, that essentially is why people love him.
You know, and I think it's not only does he love to fight, He just loves life. And I think is, you know, just Joe fan or Jill fan, so that I don't get in trouble, or in between. You know, we like that. We like somebody that just, it appears he enjoys not what he does, not only what he does for a living, but he just enjoys life.
Yeah.
You know, the he goes out and has a great time. He jumps on the bikes. The rumor, there was a press conference at Shaquille O'Neal's house, which we attended. Knockout Radio attended. It was in the basketball court.
Right.
The full-length basketball court at his house. And just before you go into the house, you go through the garage, and then he has like a display shack. It's like going to a car dealership. I don't know why I'm getting sidetracked here, but it was like going to a car dealership, right. And he had six cars just showed off as, you know, medias and, you know, walking in. But the legend is that sometime during that press conference, Donald Cerrone did a backflip off Shaq's house into the pool.
I could believe it.
He's fighting on Saturday, and this is on Wednesday.
I can totally believe it.
And that's what we love about him.
Yeah. I've heard some stories of him doing – he free dives.
Yeah. I heard about that.
Holding his breath for 5 minutes under the water, whatever. I mean, that might be way out, but like all of this kind of crazy stuff that most people say, listen, you go through atmospheric changes in the water, and they're saying it's, you know, it's kind of dangerous, and he kind of laughs and goes, yeah, but like,
well, he had a tragedy at that.
I laugh in the face of danger, you know. So, but that's his character. Listen, like I said, it's kind of sinister. You sit opposite Jared Cannonier here, and he is a truly frightening, by the way, a really very sweet, lovely man, but he's a truly frightening figure to sit across from, and I'm probably nearly double his size. But, you know, he's in fight mode. He's at elite level right now. He's fighting for the title, so he's focused on that. He's still making his way up the mountain, where Donald Cerrone's been at the top of the mountain, and is probably on the other side now, and he's just doing it for fun. Now, to step in a cage, a UFC cage against natural-born killers and do it for fun, I mean, that's crazy. And that kind of, that's the mark of the man, you know?
Well, and I think that's what I said to him as he went through all that. And I go, and you do this for fun.
Yep.
I don't drive by the gym for fun.
It's a special kind of person. It really is. It's just listen, for anyone that's ever stepped in a ring, whether it be at an amateur level, you know, world level, boxing ring, Muay Thai ring, MMA ring, it looks cool on the TV, but you see when the minute when the bell rings or the cage closes, it's a truly humbling experience. And whatever level you've done it at, it's most people are intimidated and you have a certain element of fear, and that's hopefully what makes you fight well. But to put yourself in that situation when you enjoy it is what makes it different, you know?
You know, I tell people all the time when they, you know, because you have a lot of people who, like you said, they look on the outside looking in and be like, well, I can do that. I can go fight MMA or I can go play professional basketball, football. And I tell them, I'm like, man, listen, it's a different thing when the lights come on, when there's millions of people watching you and those bright lights are in there and you're out there by yourself. Like my coach used to always tell me, nobody's coming to save you. Like, you're out there on an island, you got to go handle your business. It takes a special kind of person to be go out there and perform at that high level. And when you don't perform the way you want to take the criticism and the lash that comes with that and that pressure, like, it's a different monster that I don't think people really understand how tough it is. And then to put on top of that, in UFC and mixed martial arts, you're getting punched in the face, you know? So it's a different kind of embarrassment, you know, or like a different kind of feeling when somebody knocks you out or you get kicked in the head. Like, you can lose a football game and lose a play, and it's like, okay, you know, you can brush that off. But like when you get knocked out or something of that nature, it's a different kind of feeling, you know, as far as pride goes. So it takes a special person to do what they do.
I don't think it was very professional, Caleb, to call Matt out like that, especially when he's not on the line. Let's go hit the top of the hour break. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Matt Strong and Staff. So we'll be right back. She was hot, she was singing, "Don't Turn
Around." This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.